So if you could, you know, give yourself advice when you were 25, you can get in touch this morning, 0-30-30-80-55-55. Would you say anything at all? This is a series, as I said, I've been doing on my own programme. Tonight, it is Jude Collins. Hello, we're going to bring you some of them on The Nolan Show this week as well. So when you're in trouble, who would you call? You might call this man. His name is Paul Tweed. He is a libel lawyer for a lot of Hollywood A-listers. So I spoke to him and asked him what he would do and what advice he would give himself when he was a lot younger.
Law wasn't my chosen career.
Really?
My mother was a legal secretary, and I couldn't think of what I wanted to do at all. I mean, it just shows my level of inspiration as a teenager in my early 20s. But I followed along the course, did my law degree at Queen's because nobody else would have me. And I applied for a job in the Belfast Telegraph in Johnson's, the same law firm I'm with today. And at that stage, it was primarily a conveyancing firm. And as a 25-year-old, you know, I was thinking, look, this will do for a while, do for a year or so before I head off somewhere. And I sort of kept thinking, right, another year, and then I'll be in sunny climes, or I'll be in the US.
Why do you think we do that? Why do we sometimes look for what will be better? We find it difficult to concentrate on what's happening in our lives at the time, and we're always hoping for something better. Is that just human nature?
I don't know whether it's human nature or Northern Irish nature. It's very, very hard to tell. I think, you know, as a society, and I think this might be a legacy of the Troubles, I don't know, but we have always aspired to be to be on the other side of the fence where the grass is greener. And that invariably means getting out of Northern Ireland, at that stage anyway. And I was no different, but it didn't work out.
Did you ever leave?
The opportunities weren't there at all. And so by stroke of fortune, and I didn't realise it at the time, and if I'd known it when I was 25, that within the next 10 years, in fact, within the next 5 years, there would be a quirk of fate that would change the direction of my career. And it started in the mid-1980s with a litigation involving the legendary Queen's Counsel of the day, Bob McCartney, where he was accused of fighting over the last chocolate eclair in a Hollywood cake shop. And we sued the Sunday World, and largely due to Bob McCartney's determination, because I say he was certainly as capable a witness as he was a lawyer, but it was a great learning curve for me, and that started me off as a libel lawyer. And then I moved on after that, and again, I couldn't have foreseen this. Began to act for BJ Eastwood, got involved in the battle with him and his former world champion protege, Barry McGuigan. That litigation lasted for 5 or 6 years, brought me into the 1990s. Before I knew it, I was a media lawyer as well as an insurance lawyer, and that set the pace. So if 5 or 10 years earlier I'd known that that was going to happen, maybe I wouldn't have wanted to get away. But that was it.
But you don't know what would have happened if you weren't trying to get away. Maybe something would have fallen into your lap, and just by choice you would have gone. So it's funny how things work out a certain way. I know it's very cliche to say it, but things work out all right in the end.
No.
Would you tell yourself when you were younger to be more patient?
I certainly would tell it that. I was not patient then. I'm probably not much more patient now, but I do think that at least I know the lessons I should have learned rather than the lessons I've actually learned. But again, I would have probably been a lot more contented had I known that, again, probably by luck more than anything else, I was able to draw the Hollywood A-listers to come to Ireland to litigate. You know, whether it's we've had Jennifer Lopez, Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, Johnny Depp, we can go down a whole list. So I've been able to bring them here, and I would never believe as a 25-year-old I would have had the ability to do that.
Because that short list in itself is incredible when you're talking about A-listers or celebrities. Those are people that many would just want to have 5 minutes in their presence, ask for an autograph, and these are just your clients.
Well, it happened, and as I say, I would emphasise a lot of it's good fortune. Those two cases that I mentioned that happened in my early career got me in the right path. They started this sort of a trend where we had just, there was a guy called Jimmy Binns, a Philadelphia lawyer who happened to act for Sylvester Stallone and Kevin Costner, but I did a case for him in Ireland. Then Liam Neeson, who obviously has got the local connection and birthright. We had a very high profile case for him in the late 1990s. So that started the trend and it started to come in. And nowadays, the biggest group of clients I act for, and I definitely wouldn't have guessed this at age 25, are made up of journalists. Journalists are by far my largest group of clients, followed by politicians, okay. followed by lawyers. So what does that tell you?
Do you make people nervous?
No, I don't think so. People make me nervous.
I've heard people use your name as almost a threat. I'll get Paul Tweed onto yeah. you. Do you know a man called Paul Tweed? Yeah. Well, yeah. if you would like to know him, then continue yeah. in this line of questioning.
yeah. No, they're delusional. I wouldn't hold much stock with that. But it has sort of, it does prove that, you know, you don't have to go to the other side of the fence, never mind the other side of the Atlantic, yeah. to be able to get an international feel around you, around your life, around your professional practice. And I just say to everyone here, you know, if I can do it, anyone can do it, and you can trust me in that. And it just requires determination. And as I say to all the young lawyers, the 25-year-olds that come into me now, you only need two things to be a good media lawyer, at least. And that's judgment and guts. Those are the only things. The law you can learn, the law you can read up, or you can, you know, work on a basis. You sure. can work your strategy and your procedures. Those are those two things that you need. And if you've got that, if I'd known that age 25, if I'd known it was as simple as that, I might have been a bit more contented.
Contentment, well, there's a very loaded word. So many of us are always wanting more. We're hoping for more. But if we were content with what we have, it's just, I do think it's human nature. We always want what we don't have. And then we get it and we think, oh, is that it?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, yeah. that's okay. Aside from work, Paul, when you think about, I don't like to use the phrase early years because it makes it sound like you're on the way out, which you clearly are not. You're yeah. sitting here looking well.
Hopefully not.
That's
yeah,
not, that's
yeah,
not a Belfast tan you have
yeah.
there. So,
yeah, believe it or not, it is.
Oh dear. But aside from that, in terms of you, your personal life, family life, any tips or advice you would give to yourself when you're in your 20s or your 30s?
Well, it's a old cliche. I mean, you know, use your time. You don't realise it, but in your 20s, that's when you've got your time, your free time. I had to work hard when I was younger, and like most of my generation and most people now, I had to work to basically get myself not only through university, but in the early years, lawyers, believe it or not, and everyone would be rolling their eyes at this, but you don't earn very much money when you start off. I mean, I started off in $2,500 per annum. That was my annual salary.
What would that equate to now?
Very hard to tell, but it certainly wouldn't equate to six figures, I'll tell you that much.
So are you going to tell us what you're on now?
No, I do very well now, but I work hard for it. I do it, work 16-hour days, 17-hour days, and yes, and I get well paid.
Do you regret that the amount of time you had to work and spend in work?
Absolutely, and it's only now, you know, you realise it because, A, the time goes quickly on you. Your kids don't see as much of you. I mean, you know, I have four kids, and, you know, they've all seen very, very little of me. I don't have time to play golf and things like that. I mean, my life is work and family. Again, that sounds a bit like a cliche, but it's only when I was thinking about it walking around here, that's yeah. really what it is. And, you know, that's the life that I've made for myself. Unfortunately, in my type of work, it's 7 days a week. You know, you have to, normally the Sunday papers are lining up their targets on a Friday night and Saturday. So my busy time starts about 4 o'clock on a Friday through to about mid-afternoon on a Saturday. And so when I was younger, when I was 25, if I'd known that I would be spending, you know, 30, 40 years of my life doing what I do, I'd have been travelling around the world, I'd have been on the Euro rail ticket, I'd have been backpacking, I'd have done all that. And I say, like, and one thing I do see as well on CVs when they come in to me, I mean, I am much more impressed with somebody who's spent their year backpacking or done something interesting. And whether that's as a result of me thinking, well, that'd be something I should have done, yeah. I'd really like to hear about that, or whether, to me, it reflects the personality and the character of the person who's coming in. But, you know, it's easy now, but definitely then, if I had known what I know now, I would have maybe gone for 5 years.
But you say that, Paul, and at the same time, you're still doing all these hours. Yeah. You're still working maybe 7 days a week, working weekends.
Yeah.
Is there any sign of you taking a step back and saying, well, do you know what, I've worked so hard for so many years, I've earned a bit of a break?
I love what I do, that's a problem. But more importantly, it's not a scenario where you can turn it off and turn it on. My work, it has to be, it's all or nothing. You've got to be at it. You can never lose a case. You've always got to be winning. You've got to, you know, make sure you get results. Otherwise, I mean, you know, the media are generally not that keen in reporting in my cases. And I can understand that because that gives publicity to others. But one I lose, whenever I lose it, it will be front page headlines. I can be guaranteed of that.
That must be tough.
Might even be mentioned in my obituary.
Here's a question for you. Have you ever lost a case?
A media case? There's no reported loss of any case of mine. But I could, that would be a brag.
I noticed the way you brag. Answer that. You'd be a good politician.
Be a dangerous thing to brag about, and it would be unfair.
It would be. And it'd be interesting to see if my producer leaves that question into this pre-recorded
absolutely.
Interview.
He'd be doing some online research. He'll try and find one.
Paul, it's been a delight. Thank you for coming down.
My pleasure, Vinny. I enjoyed the crack.
And I guess to kind of summarise what you would say to your 25-year-old self, it would be a bit more patient. And this, I think, could apply to nearly any of us, me included. Be a bit more patient, travel a bit more, spend a bit more time with the kids, and beware the internet. You don't know what it is when you're 25, but in the future, it will be a big source of your income.
A big source, and we don't forget that we're going back many years now from when I was 25. If you take the same time period forward, what we'll be living in, it'll be a virtual reality scenario probably, where people can, they don't listen in, they don't have to listen in. They will, there'll be your brain waves will go into some central
command. You're scaring me now.
And do it. But that is a logical, development. So what are lawyers going to do then? So I don't know whether I'd be around for it, but you never know.